Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
Thank you. Very good. Very good. You know, light is inspirational, right? And when we hear music like that, it brings light into our lives. It brings energy and power. It's the affirmative impulse. When light breaks over the horizon and dawn comes, there's energy, there's power, right? There's gladness, and the whole of creation sings praises of gladness to that light. Light is also inspiration and understanding. So when light of inspiration and understanding comes into our hearts and minds, there's energy. We don't do anything without light, which is energy in expression, right? So we're going to talk about light. And light doesn't stand alone. Light and dark go together. You know, what makes things the most beautiful is the play of darkness and light, right? If we're looking at a yin-yang symbol, we know there's the dark side and the light side, but they embrace and enfold and lift each other up. And so there's nothing to be afraid about the dark side, and I'll talk more about that in a minute, because it's, and you know, look at the case as an example. Think about how beautiful the light's been the last few days. I was amazed. I was taking my dog for a walk 2 days ago. I was looking up at the clouds and the play of light, and I thought it's because of the light playing on those clouds and those shadows that gives it the particular nuance and beauty. Something about this time of year, isn't there? This liminal time between summer and winter, you know, when we move into another time of the year, and we say, thank you, God, the weather is getting colder. Thank you, God. Not there yet, but it's going to get there, hopefully. Can't believe we're having Halloween and it's like 87 degrees or something, but that's okay. All in God's good time. It has nothing to do with global warming. Nothing to do with it whatsoever. Listen to the words of the first words from the Gospel of John, because John understands this and talks about this. He says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word is that affirmative impulse. The Word is that light and love pressed out into actuality, right? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. This light energy, this inspiration is intimately involved in the creation of everything, and it's intimately connected to God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Everything came into being through that Word. And without the Word, nothing would come into being. What came into being through the Word was life. Because, folks, when the energy of God, the power of God is enfolded into the darkness, into the matrix, it brings forth energy, it brings forth life, right? And we are a product of that. It came into being through the Word, and the Word was life, and the life was the light for all people. The light shines in the darkness, so the darkness doesn't extinguish the light. I don't particularly like that word, extinguish, because I don't think it's about extinguishing the dark. I think it's about embracing the light in the dark, right? Because when that happens, then magic happens. There's energy that comes forth from that embrace. Like I said, it's the yin-yang idea. We need both. And in the middle of the dark part of the yin-yang symbol, what? There's a dot of light. And in the middle of the light part, there's a dot of the dark, right? So there's a complementary understanding. If you turn to Genesis, right at the beginning of the Bible, the same idea. When God began to create the heavens and the earth was without shape or form. It was dark over the deep sea. It was a formless void, as some translations put it, right? This is powerful, this formless void, because it is that allowing space, that not knowing space, yeah, that I don't know, but I know that God does, into which God plants the seeds of possibility. And if we want to control everything and think we know everything, we don't allow space for this emptiness, this openness, this void out of which God can create. So, say it again. It was dark over the deep sea, and God's wind swept over the waters. God said, let there be light. And there was light. See, the words, the very first word, let there be light. Let there be inspiration. Let there be possibility. How often are you saying that to yourself? on a given week. Let there be light. At the beginning of every endeavor, it's always good to say, let there be light. Let there be understanding. Let there be a greater knowledge, right? Let there be possibility. I don't know. I don't have to know. God knows. The energy within me knows, and I need to trust that so that I can bring forth the word of God into actuality in my life. Let there be light. I'm not in charge of the light. I am a harnesser and allower of the light to express, right? And light and love to me are very similar. They're very closely allied together. Winston Churchill, when they asked him, well, why do you want to fight against Hitler? What's the reason to fight? And he could have written eloquent pages about this, but he said something very simple. He says, the light on the uplands. The light on the uplands. I'm fighting for the light on the uplands. And interesting, isn't it? And I know what he's talking about because have you ever seen in the distant fields and hills and there's a certain quality of light that's so beautiful? I think that's worth fighting for. That's worth protecting. That beauty that I've seen. When I was a kid and all through my life now, I've had this image of woodlands on a hill and then below is a meadow. And it's the moment between the openness and the darkness of the wood that's magical to me, and the light playing on it. And I feel, yeah, I can get inspiration when I go back in my mind. I don't know where that landscape is. It may be an idealized landscape, but it's definitely real. Now I live in a house where we're on the edge of a creek, and the creek goes down. It's all wooded. And on this side of the creek, on this side of the woods, is a lawn area before they get to the house. So I've got my dream, except it's reversed. So now the woods are down below, and the open space is above. But it's the same idea, you know, it's that dark, that going into the dark of the wood and seeing the light coming through the trees, and then the openness of the lawn. So, you know, I think life is interesting like that. It will give you what you hold in consciousness, but not always in the form that you thought. It'll be a play. It's God's little joke about it. But there it is, Paul. There's the manifestation of this thing you've been holding in your mind. But I'm going to give it to you in a different form just to keep you guessing for a while. God likes to keep us guessing. You know, it amuses him, actually. Anybody familiar with the artist Caravaggio and his art? He was an example of chiaroscuro, you know, the light and the dark, and he was able to create faces like nobody else could, and with such emotional force that they inspire us, they bring us to tears sometimes. A master of light and dark, and it's because of the play of light and dark in his images that makes it so powerful. In fact, all art is based on that, right? To a degree, it's based on the play of light and dark in our experience. Darkness has had a bad rap, don't you agree? I mean, you know, there's some traditions that say darkness is synonymous with evil, sin, pain, fear, hate, ignorance, you know, all those bad things, which is too bad because really darkness needs to be rehabilitated, you know, because darkness is necessary if you're going to have light. It's beautiful, the beautiful divine dark out of which everything is created, right? Before the universe, before God said, let there be light, there was the beautiful, mothy, divine dark. And I would suggest there's that divine dark in us, in our subconscious, out of which comes forth the magnificence of our lives. We think of inspiration as a light bulb going off, right? It's new understanding, aha, right? Charles Fulmer wrote this about that, co-founder of Unity. He said, light is the understanding principle of mind. In divine order, it always comes first in consciousness. Yet light is the understanding principle of mind. In divine order, it always comes first in consciousness. So if we need guidance, we pray, we affirm, for light, right? Let there be light in this situation. Let there be understanding. Because light... And light and understanding go beyond right and wrong, don't they? It's not saying one's right and one's wrong. No, in the light of understanding, I get to see the whole picture, right? And it brings calm to my soul. Because, you know, right now, in our society leading up to the election and everything, if we're buying into the division and duality of everything, it can drive you crazy, can't it? It's not just me. Other people are feeling this too, right? So we affirm for divine understanding that God's power is greater than either or, right? God is a both and concept, and we are both and concepts too. We embrace both the light and the dark to gain greater understanding. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness embraces it. It doesn't overwhelm it, it embraces it, just as the womb embraces the fertilized seed or sperm that gestates for 9 months and then comes forth as new life, right? And just as that works on the physical level, it works on the spiritual level. If you have an idea that you want to be made manifest for you, then it needs to be held in the sacred space, in that invisible realm, in that gestating place of the womb, so that it can come forth. Well, I'll talk more about that in a minute, because this is Charles Fillmore's most profound formula for transformation, I think. Listen to John the Baptist's dad, because at the early part of Luke, John the Baptist's dad has some words to say, and you know his name's Zechariah. And Zechariah is talking about the fulfillment of Jesus coming, but I think metaphysically it's also the fulfillment of the Christ principle of light and love and possibility coming to all of us. And if we read it like that, we'll see it as a great praise to Jesus, but also a great praise to the Spirit of light and love in us, right? So let's read this. It says, John's father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and he prophesied. Blessed the Lord God of Israel, because he has come to help and has delivered his people. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in his servant David's house. Just as he said through the mouths of his holy prophets long ago. That remembrance that I am a spiritual being living in a spiritual universe governed by spiritual laws. I remember this truth. What am I waiting for? I'm waiting for it to be made manifest in my life. And here it is. It's been prophesied. We've preached on it week after week. We've read all the books. We've known it intuitively. What's left? Answering the pop quiz. Yeah, that's important. But after the pop quiz, the applying it in our lives, that's what's left. That's all that matters, is putting it into practice in our lives. He has brought salvation from our enemies. Now, who is the enemy? We are the enemy. We are our greatest enemy, folks. Stupidity is the greatest enemy, right? That which says it can't be done is the greatest enemy. And we do this, so we are the greatest enemies. From the power of all those who hate us. Self-hate, you know, that says, oh, no, it's not possible for me. I'm a stupid idiot. And by the way, it has nothing to do with what other people feel about us, because that's their business, right? It only becomes a problem when I internalize what they are saying and make it true. That's a choice. So if I'm stupid enough to believe what somebody else says, good or bad, and internalize it, then I'm thrown off kilter. I'm taken away from my center, and now I'm believing somebody else. I've made them a god, in other words, right? I don't need to be doing that. I need to stay centered in my truth, in the light and love which is within me and all around me. He has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and remembered his holy covenant, the solemn pledge he made to our ancestor Abraham. He has granted that we would be rescued from the power of our enemies, again, the stuff within, so that we could serve him without fear. Isn't that what it's all about? I want to serve the truth of me without fear, without all that silliness getting in the way, you know, feeling bad about things. In holiness and righteousness in God's eyes for as long as we live. Yeah. You, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. We're all prophets. We're prophesizing to ourselves the good news, aren't we? We're reminding ourselves of our self-worth, yeah? For you will go before the Lord to prepare his way. You will tell his people how to be saved through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of our God's deep compassion, the dawn, here's the light bit. It's taken a long time to get to it, but here we are. The dawn from heaven will break upon us to give light to those who are sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide us on the path of peace. To remind ourselves, I am more than a physical being, I am a spiritual being of all possibility. Yeah. So this is a great celebration of the coming of that light for all of us. Yeah. Beautiful words. So today we celebrate light. It's the main festival of Diwali, which is the Hindu festival of lights, the new year there. So we're going to have some Hindu festivities over in the Johnson Hall. It's the Celtic festival of Samhain, which is again the festival of light, because when the dark is coming, we want to reinforce that light prevails, right, in the dark part of the year. And there's nothing wrong with that dark part of the year. It's the fallow time where we let things lie, but we're reaffirming that light is there. It's harvest festival in a lot of Christian traditions. Again, what? Giving thanks for all that's been given so that we rest until the next time of production comes around. When I was a kid, we had strawberries 3 weeks in the year, because that's when they were in season, you know, and they were very precious commodities. I remember my mother would only let me eat one at a time, you know, and usually with a slice of bread to go with it to make it last longer. Oh, great. I was over at my granddaughter's, over at my daughter's house, and she'd cut up a bunch of strawberries, and she was feeding them to, and in fact, my granddaughter was eating them, and I kept moving the dish away, and my daughter said, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" You know, I said, "She doesn't want too much acid in her stomach." That was my excuse. But it was old tapes from childhood was saying, you know, that's too much. We're indulging the child. We shouldn't be doing this. And she said, "Just give them to her. It's fine. She'll stop when she's had enough." And she did. But I thought, my goodness, how those old tapes keep coming through. But now, of course, you get strawberries year-round and most everything else, you know, because we fly things in from 5,000 miles away. I don't necessarily think that's a great thing, but it's certainly part of this world economy we live in, yes? Things have changed over the years. Give her a piece of bread, that's it. All those strawberries, spoiling the child. So I want to share the formula that Charles Fillmore came up with. He was imbued in Hinduism and Buddhism, so I think he got a lot of his ideas from that. But it's also in the Bible as well. And it's simply this. He said, an idea projected into substance with faith produces results, produces a realization, right? So an idea, some light, some understanding, whatever that idea is, if you project it into substance, which is the darkness, which is the energy of God, in the Hindu tradition, Shiva represents power. So an idea is power. All ideas have power. Projected into the matrix, which is Shakti, Shiva and Shakti. And often these gods and goddesses are pictured as white and black, symbolizing the integration of these forces again. So when an idea, when Shiva is projected into Shakti, and people say, well, it's a sexual image. Well, it is at that level, but it's also a spiritual image at this level, because the same thing works as above, so below. So the sperm is fertilized, the egg is fertilized by the sperm, and it gestates in that matrix for 9 months and brings forth the goodies, right? I know you're waiting for the goodies to come forth, aren't you? How many more months is it now? Just two or three? 8 weeks, there we go, good. Well, we see a wonderful, successful completion to that for you, as to all mothers who are going through that process. Why do we not do this? Why doesn't it work, this formula? What gets in the way? Often, we don't give ourselves the self-worth and validity of having a good idea, right? Oh, well, that's for somebody else. So we have to claim that I have a good idea here. This is powerful, and I'm willing to work with it. That's number one. I'm going to ask you what a good idea might be in a minute, okay? To hold that idea out there. Second, when we plant it, we're often digging it up to look at it over and over again. It takes perseverance to leave it in the ground to gestate, right? Sometimes we don't get the answer, and we want everything right now, don't we, in our modern society? We want it to be given so quickly, we haven't got time to wait. But it takes time. You have to let things lie fallow. It takes 9 months for a human being. It takes 2.5 years for an elephant, you know? A long time to be gestating. So we have to give ourselves permission not to be hassling and trying to control everything. And that's really what it is. We try and control everything, see how it's growing, instead of allowing God's amazing wisdom to be present. What else gets in the way? The fear it won't work. We don't have the faith that it'll... I've told this story many times about my grandmother. Was told one time, if you had faith, you could bake a cake in the oven without even turning the oven on. Just put it in there for 45 minutes, and the cake will be beautifully cooked. So, okay, she said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to put God to the test. So she put the ingredients in there, it was all stirred up, ready to go. After 45 minutes, brought it out. Nothing had happened. She said, I knew it wouldn't happen. There you go. If you know it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. That's why ideas projected into substance with faith, with knowing, right? And knowing is not just intellectual. Knowing is that deep visceral understanding that, yes, I dare to claim my good, right? So what is an idea that... Because, we were talking about painting, and you start with a blank slate, and Connie, who's a wonderful artist, shared at 9:30 and said that I waited till an idea comes, and then I allow God to give it flesh for me to put it on the board. And I thought, that's wonderful. There's a moment of nothingness, and then there's much time opening to ideas, and when the ideas come, we let God be part of that process, right? So all the way along the process, there's an allowing of the spiritual understanding to be present. Because if I'm trying to control it, I know that with my writing, if I try and write thinking about what's going to be good, I get it all wrong. If I allow it almost automatically to come out, then it seems to flow, right? Because I'm allowing a greater... a wisdom to come forth. See, I think Katsuk being here today is an idea. He threw out an idea into the matrix of emptiness, which was, what do you think? And we said, go for it. And so he came and produced something wonderful. There's an example of it in action, right? We could have said, oh, well, I don't think so. We got all the service worked out. Let's not do it. And what would have happened then? We would have missed an opportunity to hear some wonderful, inspiring music, right? So sometimes it takes a risk, doesn't it? Cooperation, openness, willingness. So I charge you to go away this week and think of an idea that is yours to be made manifest, right? Maybe not just this week, but over the next several weeks. Some people shared beautifully at 9:30. I don't know if anybody's willing to share today. What idea do you have that you would like to bring forth? You got one.
About 10 years ago, I started having some really good inventions and writing them down. I saw how they could work.
Right.
But I just, didn't go out and try to find a patent attorney. I didn't pursue it. And then about 5 years ago, my cousins told me that they went to school with a patent attorney and that he could totally help me out. Sometimes he'll even put up some of his own money into it and everything. They told me about it, but I never got his number. Another 5 years has gone by, and finally I have his number programmed into my phone now, but I haven't called it yet. And I'm hoping another 5 years. No, I'm gonna call this week. And finally, so I don't know what the big reluctancy was, where I probably should have done this 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, nobody has thought of these ideas that I had all the way back then.
All right. Go for it. We're going to hold you to it. You just said it in front of a bunch of people now.
That's why I told it.
All right, there we go. Amen. Good deal. One more? Anybody else got something? a burning thing that's yours. Because that's what it takes. It's a burning idea. It's a compelling idea that I want to bring forth, right? Because if it's a compelling idea and you are willing to do all that's necessary, you're willing to persevere through dark times and allow God to express in interesting ways, then wonderful things will come forth from it. The light will shine in the darkness and produce something remarkable. Amen.
Is this on? Hello, my name is Tim, and I am a druid. This time of year, my ancestors practice something called Samhain. This is Samhain. So we celebrate Samhain. We celebrate the coming of autumn, the coming of winter. This was their New Year's Eve, basically. And Samhain in the Gaelic means summer's end. So certain things are coming to an end. I'm also thinking, though, that this is also a beginning. I was telling the 9:30 crowd that last year I almost died. And then 2 months after that, my best friend passed away. And, you know, that was a dark time. I'm still going through this dark time. But at the same time, for the first time in my life, I'm really, truly happy. Because the one thing I've noticed is that in the dark times, there's an opportunity. And it's an opportunity of transformation. And so what I'm asking you today is I need everybody to close their eyes and sit in the dark place. Sit in your dark place. Think about things that are not working in your life, things that need to be transformed, because this is a moment of transformation, a time of opportunity. This is a poem by a woman named Joyce Rumpf, and she is a feminist nun. And I know that's a contradiction in terms, but just listen to the prayer. It's called Autumn Prayer. Autumn God, Earth teaches me by her natural turning of the seasons one to another. As she enters in the dying and the rising cycle, she welcomes the changes. May I be open to the teachings of the seeding of autumn and turn, as autumn does, towards opportunities for my spiritual transformation. When I accept only the beautiful and reject the tattered, torn parts of who I am, when I treat things that are falling apart as my enemies, walk me among the dying leaves. Let them tell me about the power of the re-energizing earth soil by their decomposition and decay. When I refuse to wait with mystery of the unknown, when I struggle to control rather than let life evolve, wrap me in the darkening days of November. Encourage me to enter into stillness and silent mystery, to wait patiently for clarity and wisdom. When I grow tired of using my gifts to benefit others, take me to the autumn fields where earth freely yields the bounty of her summer. Let me become aware of how she allows her lands to be stripped clean, so fruitfulness will be a source of nourishment. When I neglect to care for myself and become totally absorbed in life's activities, let me see how animals gather substance and provide their winter. Take me inside the covers of those who hibernate and remind me of my contemplative nature. When I fight unwanted and sought changes, when I seek to keep things just as they are, place me on the wings of birds flying south for another season. Gather their spirits of freedom into my heart. Let me be willing to leave my well-satisfied place of comfort for the discomfort of a long flight into the unknown. Thank you, God, for this transformation, for all the lessons that are here in the autumn earth that she teaches me. And at this moment, I call upon the spirits. I call upon our Creator, Mother, Father, God. I call upon our ancestors, ancestors who have walked this bowl of earth, ancestors of our blood, ancestors who have walked the Druid path before me. Call upon your ancestors and those who love you and say hello and goodbye to them at the same time. Allow yourself to sit in the dark, but also allow yourself to feel the transformative power of God working through you. The word for inspiration in Gaelic is awen. Allow the awen to spread among you. Feel connected to the earth like a tree. Feel your roots going down into the earth. Feel your branches going up into the sky and receive that which you need. Understand that the darkness is not here to beat you up. Understand that the darkness is not about self-condemnation, but it is self-transformation. You are beings of light and salt, flavor and taste. A light that has been put among us because you are so special. And the only thing that darkness does is help us to become more of who we are rather than what other people want to be. Now, as you open your eyes, think about what you want to do. This is the time of either learning how to respond to the darkness or reacting to it. Do not allow shame or blame to do this for you. Do not allow people to put you down because you are a bright light and you have something to offer to everybody. You are a gift. And the darkness is only here to help you become that gift. In the name of the living, loving Christ, I say amen.
Thanks for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We sincerely thank you for your contribution, and we affirm with you, divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive, and I am grateful.